Good morning. Welcome to Tiernan's Podcast, episode number 8. It is Friday the 13th of February. Ooh, spooky. It's Friday the 13th of February 2012. And today's episode, if the car would stop beeping. Today's episode is technically a follow-up to episode 7. Episode 7, I talked about the gadgets I carry around with me all the time. Episode 8, which is today's episode, is specifically gadgets, new gadgets, that I'm interested in. And these are either gadgets that have been released and are on the market, gadgets that are announced and will be on the market soon, and for fun, there's some speculative gadgets and also gadgets I would like to see. So, I'm going to start the podcast with the stuff that is already released and that I'm currently tempted by. So, in the last podcast I mentioned, I have an iPhone 4 and a HTC Titan. Now, this is the new Titan, the T-I-T-A-N. HTC had a phone a couple of years back called the Titan as well, T-Y-T-N, and they had a T-Y-T-N and a T-Y-T-N-2, and I actually had a Titan 2, the original, the T-Y-T-N version of it, a couple of years ago, which is slightly going off topic. That was an old Windows phone. It was a 6.1 or a 6.5 device. It was actually a lovely little phone, come to think of it, but anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, I have a Windows phone Titan, the HTC Titan, and I have an iPhone 4. But the one operating system that I don't have on, I've had a couple of phones that ran this OS before that I do want again. Which is a long and convoluted way of saying I don't have an Android phone and I think I want one, basically. So I like the idea of the Android phones because they're an awful lot more hackable than the iPhone and the Windows phone seems to be. There's an awful lot more of a kind of a homebrew community about the Android devices. And it seems that anything you can do, you can do an awful lot more with an Android device than you can with a Windows phone or an iPhone. Now, I suppose that's, the iPhone was the first big one to get locked down specific to the manufacturer. Like, I mean, you can jailbreak your iPhone, but there's still limits on what can and can't be done, even as a jailbroken phone. And it's not really all, it's definitely not supported once you jailbreak your phone. Whereas with an Android phone, I get the impression that getting or being able to go in and root your device, which is basically, I am the administrator of this phone, I can do whatever I want, go forth and let me. That is something that it seemed Google have no problem with you doing, because I was looking at, there's an application called NeoRouter, at neorouter.com, R-O-U-T-E-R, N-E-O-R-O-U-T-E-R, and it's one of these, it's not quite zero config VPN, but but it's a really simple to set up VPN. And they have a version of NeoRouter that runs on Android devices. And to get it, you go into the Android store, look for NeoRouter, and one of the things that you install, or one of the requirements, and it's plainly put there, is this device needs root, needs to be rooted before you can go off and install this. And to get the rooting software, you actually go and look for it in the Android store. Now, there are other ways to do it, but that gives me the impression that, well, if it's available from the official Android store, which has renamed itself to Play, if it's available from there, and Google have kind of blessed it in that it's there and they haven't pulled it, it's been there for a couple of years now, then it kind of means that it's more supported. It seems, given that Android is based on on Linux, and it's open source and everything else, I get the impression that it's more a kind of an Ubuntu style OS, in that, yeah, okay, it's nice and friendly and everything else, and anybody can use it the normal way, but if you're a power user or a geek or what have you, you can drop down to like a terminal level, to a lower level, and go off and get this to do something that maybe they weren't completely thinking of doing in when they released it. That the average Joe soap isn't going to be going off and recompiling their kernel, but if you want to, you can. The average Joe soap might not be going off and wireless tethering of certain things, tethering in different ways or something like that, using your device to SSH into a remote server or something, anything. You can do all of these with the Android devices. So anyway, that was a kind of a convoluted way of saying I'm looking at an Android device. And the specific devices I'm currently looking at, there's two on the market I'm thinking about. The first one is the new HTC One S. Now, there's a HTC One X and there's a One S. I think there's another one, but I don't know what it's called. The One S is interesting me, because Engadget had a review of it a couple of weeks back, and they basically posted benchmarks. They posted benchmarks of the One S versus the One X. Now, the One S is a dual core 1.5 GHz ARM processor. It's got a gig of RAM. It's got a nice display. I can't remember the exact specs, but it's an Super AMOLED display, as far as I know. Onboard storage, all that usual good stuff. Running Android, I think it's Android 4 as well. So that's the One S, and the One X is a quad core processor. I think it's the same amount of RAM, or probably different storage specs, everything else. But the difference between, basically, they ran benchmark tests, and the One S came out on top. Now, I thought it was kind of weird that the One S, which is dual 1.5 GHz processor cores, will be faster than a One X, which has a quad processor core. Now, I don't know the speeds of the quad core. They could be 800 megahertz, they could be a gigahertz, they could be 1.2. I can't remember. I didn't read the. I will fully admit, I haven't fully done my homework on this, so I don't know what the processors in it are. But it is interesting to see a couple of really fast cores are faster. Two really fast cores are faster than four not so fast cores. Well, I suppose that's been known for a while. Anyway, so you got a 1S and a 1X, and the 1S is actually available on one of my mobile networks. I carry a couple of phones with me, and the mobile network O2 here in Ireland have the 1S available as an upgrade offer for me, and I think it's about 50 or 60 quid. So needless to say, it is tempting, and I am thinking about it. But the other alternative is the Samsung Galaxy Note. Now, the Samsung Galaxy Note is one of these, what an awful lot of people have referred to it as a phablet. As in, it's halfway between a phone and a tablet. It's, I think it's a 5.7-inch display. As far as I remember, it's Super AMOLED. It's got a dual... it's a dual core processor. Now, mind you, that was included in the benchmark tests on Engadget. And it's not as fast as the HTC 1S. It's actually got a slightly slower speed, but it's a nice device. It's got a pen for writing on the screen. It's a standard capacitive display touch screen. So you can use it with your hand and finger and everything else. You can use your nose, from what I can gather. Don't know why you'd want it. But yeah, it's standard capacitive display. But you do have the option of using a pen if you want. And the idea of using a pen is take notes or draw things or what have you. Whatever you'd usually do with a pen. So I am tempted by that, but the only reason I've kind of put off on that at the moment is it's running Android 2.3 at the moment, and Android 4 is supposed to be coming for it, but it's been a while and it's delayed all the time and everything else, and I just get the impression that this device was designed to run 2.3, and upgrading to 4 might not. It's kind of an afterthought. That's one of the, it's like you buy a new iPhone and it comes with iOS 5. Well, as soon as 6 ships, your device feels slower than a device that was designed to run 6 from the beginning. That's insane. That's kind of, the only time that doesn't all the time work is PCs, because usually when you're upgrading your OS on a PC, you might also upgrade the RAM and storage and graphics cards. So you're upgrading the machine as you're upgrading the OS. Whereas with a phone, you're kind of on last year's hardware, I get the impression. With this year's OS, things move on all the time. So now, mind you, the other side of that is the HTC or the Galaxy Note was announced last year sometime, late last year, and Android 4 was already released sometime last year, so maybe there is something in there that they made sure that it would actually support Android 4 without too many issues. But I still get the impression it might get slower once you upgrade to Android 4. But then again, that's me. The other thing is, you've also got the fact of there could be a Galaxy Note 2 floating around in the works, and it might be released in the next couple of weeks. Next couple of months. Now, I don't know anything about it. This is just complete speculation on my part. So that's the Android phones I'm thinking of. The other side of things actually is we're coming up to July. June, July is only around the corner. This is coming up to the end of April. We're halfway through April at the moment. By the time this podcast gets released, it could be close enough to May to make no difference. We're coming up to June, July. And Apple have a little small event in June, July called the WWDC, the Worldwide Developer Conference. And a Worldwide Developer Conference is where Apple release, pretty much guaranteed, Apple release the new hardware for the iPhone and the new OS for the iPhone. So you'll have iOS 6, will potentially be called iOS 6, we don't know. You'll have iOS 6, or iOS V next, and you're probably going to have iPhone V next as well, which I'd be surprised if it's not called iPhone 5. So if that comes out in June, July, it'll be available in Ireland pretty much one of the first countries to get it, or the second set of countries to get it. Lots of people beeping there, but anyway, that's another story. So Ireland will be one of the first or second countries, one of the first set or second set of countries to get it. We were the third set last year, or last time around. When iPhone 4 came out, we were the third set. I think it released in the US first, then in 7 countries around the world, including the UK and Japan and a few other places. And then Ireland got it next. And I think it was like the 7th, the 14th and the 21st were the dates that they were launched. So it was literally a couple of weeks after each other. Or a week after each other. So that is only around the corner. So I could want to see what happens when that gets released. That'd be an interesting, game changer to see what Apple does in the next generation iPhone. Because that will be, so you had the iPhone, the original iPhone, you had the 3G, 3GS, 4, and the 4GS. So this would be Apple's 6th generation iPhone, which would be called iPhone 5, probably. So Apple really confused the hell out of naming. But anyway, that's what they do when they release a big one and then a small one, a S or a 3G upgrade or whatever the hell they want to call it. So anyway, that's the first thing. So that's phones. So we see what happens with phones. Next is computers. Tablets. So Windows 8 is coming out, as we all know. I have the consumer preview on a virtual machine at the moment. I hate to admit this, I have not installed on physical hardware just yet. I don't have physical hardware to install it on. I suppose most of my hardware is used for other things, and I can't just format and install Windows yet. I would like to, but I have it as a virtual machine, and it's very nice. I would like to play with this as on a touchscreen display though. It seemed a bit fiddly to be trying to use it on a PC in It seems fiddly to use it on a PC with a mouse. At the moment, I'm not used to it, and I'm not running at the right resolution. For some reason, my VM is only showing me a weird resolution, which my actual physical monitor is at a different resolution, so it's a bit, things look a bit wonky. But I would like to see the I would like to play with this on physical tablet hardware. I'm planning upgrading my main walk around laptop, or my main home laptop, in the next couple of months. And I'm waiting for Windows 8 to come out before I go off and do this. And basically, I'm thinking of a convertible Windows tablet. Something that you open up and it's got a keyboard and it's got a trackpad, and then this display is touchscreen as well. So you can go off and you can do your usual stuff. You can open up Visual Studio, Office, everything else, and it's a proper tablet PC, or it's a proper desktop PC, it's a proper laptop, does everything you need it to do. Then you're sitting in college and you decide to flip it around and turn it into tablet mode, so you can carry it around under your arm and mess around on Facebook and Twitter and all the usual stuff I do in college. I know I should be listening and actually taking notes, but that's another story altogether. So the thought behind that is something similar, maybe to the either a completely convertible tablet, which there have been a few on the market that you open up and they're a normal touch screen, or they're a normal laptop. You turn it around, you close it down, you've just got the screen. Now you've got the bulk of the bottom of the laptop underneath. But the other thing I'd be interested in is this idea of the Transformer Prime. So Asus have a device called the Transformer and the Transformer Prime, and it's an Android tablet. And one of the options you can, when you're buying that, is you can buy just the slate on its own, which is pretty much iPad like slate, and you can buy a keyboard dock for it, and you plug the slate into the keyboard. It's got a docking station, and you close it down and it becomes a tablet, or it becomes a laptop. You open it up and you've got your keyboard and you got your everything else, and the keyboard includes a larger battery, a few other bits and pieces as well, and it's got a little docking connector on the bottom. So that is a brilliant idea, because that way you need something with a bit more power, you bring the whole lot, including the docking station, you got the keyboard, you can do a bit of work, and you can do whatever. You're sitting on the sofa at night, and you just want the tablet, you just take the tablet off of the chassis, sit back, relax, and play around. And that's it. And I like the sound of that, and I want one of these for Windows. I want my Windows 8 tablet to be able to do that. Now, ideally speaking, and this is completely ballpark, or well, completely out of the park idea, is what about a hybrid? Right? By hybrid, I mean you have your tablet, which has your full, has an ARM processor in it, has an SSD, you've got your copy of Office, you've got IE and everything else, and you can go off and you can do your basic kind of tablet-y work on that. Then you have a docking station, which includes a battery and everything else, but it also includes, say, an Atom processor or a Core i3 processor or some low powered but x86 based processor. When you plug your tablet in, the screen automatically switches to the processor on board of the keyboard, and that way you can continue working, but you're now working on a different mode. Now the the x86 processor will now use your storage from your tablet. So it will boot a copy, it'll boot its own copy of Windows, but your documents, settings, all that sort of stuff, and any shared applications will actually come off the SSD that's in the tablet. But your actual x86 based applications, so Visual Studio, line of business apps, that sort of thing, anything that's still x86, they will boot off the tablet and the keyboard. Then you get home and you want something with even more power again, you take the tablet out of its docking station and plug it in, and this time you're using maybe a quad core or a 6 core, even an 8 core i7 processor, higher end graphics and a few other bits and pieces. Your tablet is then just a screen. You might have a couple of larger screens plugged into that docking station as such. So now you can do a bit more work. As I said, this is kind of pie in the sky stuff, in that it is possible, but whether we'll see it anytime soon is another story. But I like this idea, and this is something that interests me, especially the fact that you go off and you take a load of photos and you download your raw images to your camera or to your tablet, and you use it to display, but you're not going to be going off and doing an awful lot of processing on it. You get to a coffee shop and you plug it into the docking station. You might do one or two minor tweaks with it, and then once you get home, you now do the bulk of your editing work. Same with videos. You view them on the road, but you work on them properly. So when you're in the coffee shop, you might take notes, or you might use it for geotagging. You might geotag them, you might add keywords, that sort of stuff. Something that needs a keyboard, something that needs a bit more power than just your average, just a tablet. And then finally, when you get home, you're going to go off and, right, take all these raw photos, convert them down to JPEGs, and upload them to Smugmug or wherever you want to upload your photos. That, I think, is where I can see that being extremely handy. But it does kind of mean you have three PCs in one, and it will cost an awful lot more. Now, I could see it in as options where you have your standard tablet, which is 500 quid, say. You could buy the docking station, and you could buy upgrades for the docking station. So the standard docking station might have a Core i3 processor and a certain amount of battery life, certain amount of onboard storage. You might want to upgrade it to an i5 or an i7. You might want more storage. You might want more RAM. You just swap out the docking station. Same with the machine in the house, or the box in the house. The box in the house may be as upgradable as a desktop PC is. You could change graphics cards. You might be able to change processors, upgrade RAM, upgrade storage. And then somebody releases a dual processor version of it, you could just go off and replace the box, and it'll be compatible with this device. Now, I'm not saying it'd be interesting if it was a single connector. Say Intel or AMD came out with this for tablet manufacturers, that there was a single connector that did everything. Thunderbolt kind of connector, but may potentially need an awful lot more bandwidth. Thunderbolt does video, and it also does PCIX or PCI Express, and it could be possible to use that. Maybe if they add more bandwidth to it, I don't know, because you're going to be transferring processor as well as PCI or PCI Express and everything else. It also gonna mean thinking of using the software, the software side of the thing is going to have to change as well, because obviously you're then going to be saying, well, do I have an external processor that I can use for processing this? And turn on and off features to say, right, this will work on your tablet. It's just going to take you half an hour to convert this video. Whereas if you want to wait and plug it into a docking station, it'll take you 10 minutes. Or if you wait till you get home, it'll take 2. You could even add the cloud into things as well if you have the bandwidth to be able to upload stuff to the cloud. But it's interesting. Now, I'm just about in work. Traffic was relatively light getting in this morning, so this is potentially slightly shorter of a podcast than I usually do. But while I'm here, I'm going to the final thing I want to talk about is a watch. It was a Kickstarter project announced yesterday, or I've seen it yesterday, and basically it's a company that built a watch for BlackBerry devices a couple of years back, and the watch connected to the BlackBerry and displayed various bits of information on it, and it was all well and good basically, but the idea was that sorry, I'm being distracted by what I thought was a blue flashy light in front of me. But anyway, so the idea was that you would have a watch on your wrist that would connect to the BlackBerry and allow you to see various bits and pieces of information from your device. And the first thing that an awful lot of people asked when this came out was, will it work with iPhone and Android? And at the time, the answer was no. But there was a Kickstarter project announced a couple of days back where the lads who had built this for the BlackBerry were modifying it to get it to work on iPhone and Android. And they had a couple of demos of it. It has an e-paper display. It connects to the device through Bluetooth. It connects to your phone through Bluetooth. And it has a few other bits and pieces as well. And I seen this and I thought, oh man, this is something else. Now, at the time, they needed $100,000. And when I seen it first, they had about $67,000 pledged to the project. Now, my credit card is currently slightly maxed out, so I haven't had a chance to put anything towards this, but I do want it. But anyway, they had 67,000 in the morning. That was about lunchtime when I seen it. I got home and I seen the link a second time, and it was now at $337,000. They wanted $100,000, and there was 35 or 36 days they were expecting to get funding in. And they hit $337,000 literally 8-10 hours after I seen the project the first time. Well, they announced the other last night sometime. Now, as I said, this has been recorded on the 13th of April, so it's a while ago it'll be a while before you actually hear this podcast. But they announced last night that they had reached 1 million, and I think when I was looking at it, it was 1.2 or 1.3 million that they had been pledged to the project. And needless to say, they've reached their funding target, and they're gonna start building this and releasing this. But this is something I want. And if you go back and read the article that I wrote on the 5 screens and the cloud, or the 5 plus screens and the cloud, or if you listen to the podcast episode that I talked about it on. This is something I mentioned. I wanted a watch that would connect to my phone and display information. And it's just, it kind of baffles the mind that, well, it doesn't baffle the mind. This is fucking brilliant. I want one of these devices. I mean, the watch I have at the moment is already hackable. I have a, what's this thing called? It's a Texas Instruments. Texas Instruments watch. And, let me see, what am I looking at? Texas Instruments, it's got a wireless connection to a, to another device. Usually a PC, but you can connect it to pretty much anything if you have the hardware. And by hardware, I mean the chip that it talks to. And you can get it to do various bits and pieces. So you can get a heart rate monitor for it, and you can get everything else. But it's got accelerometers, and it's got temperature thermometers, and it's got everything else in it. So this is already relatively hackable. But this new one, the one that was announced on Kickstarter, the Pebble, I think it's called, this is impressive. I mean, it connects to your phone through Bluetooth. It goes off and does all its magic through Bluetooth, and then displays it through e-ink. I mean, it's crazy. Now, the one thing that is a bit weird is the fact that you have to charge your watch. It lasts about 7 days, depending on how often it's being used for different bits and pieces. But, I mean, we charge our phones every night. Laptops are charged when they're plugged in. Everything else. So, charging your watch, if you had a nice little docking station where you took your watch off and you just set it down somewhere or plugged it in somewhere and let it charge, wouldn't be too bad. But, anyway, I'm currently sitting in the car park. I've just arrived to the office. So, I think I'm going to finish up, and that's a show. As usual, any comments, questions, all that good stuff, drop them on the podcast website. Leave a comment. And, yeah, hopefully there'll be a new show sometime next week. I'm trying to do one of these once a week. I've recorded a couple in backlog, and I'm releasing them every week, so hopefully all is good. As I said, drop me an email if you have any questions, tiernan@tiernanotool.ie. That's TIERNAN, and OTOOLE. And yeah, so any questions, comments, feedback, show requests, etc., give me a show. Thanks for listening, and have a good one. Bye now.